Let's take our seats this morning. Hey, how great has church been today? First Sunday of the year. Well, I thought it's been great. Three people did as well. How good has church been today? Good, just leaning into God's presence and worshiping Him, finding out what's happening in our church. Can you believe it is 2019 already? Christmas has come and gone. New Year's has happened. I think that maybe Australia Post has missed some of the presents you guys sent me. So I'm still believing that they're in the mail. They're coming. But you know, we're in this new year and we've had 2 weeks of just fantastic weather. And then yesterday we have a church barbecue and it rains and it's like, what's going on? But today is a beautiful, beautiful day. And I just want to make a welcome to Sue Allen and Stacy, who are visiting from our other Elevation locations this morning. Just so great to have you guys here today with us. And that's awesome. Hey, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together here today. I pray, Lord, that it would not be time wasted. I pray that we would encounter your Holy Spirit and that you would minister and to speak into our souls. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43, and we're going to start from verse 16. It says this, "This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick." We see Isaiah is about to bring a word to the children of Israel, but before he does that, he just gives them a little reminder of some things that God has done in the past. And he looks back to a time where they were in captivity in a place called Egypt. And he reminds them of how God set them free from that place and took them out. And as they went out, they went through the Red Sea. The seas were parted. And then Pharaoh and his armies chased after them. And it says here, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again. What happened was as they chased Israel and Israel got onto the safe side, the waters collapsed and just all those men that were chasing Israel were snuffed out like a wick, the Bible says. God reminds them, Isaiah is reminding them of what has happened, what he has done, how they were in bondage, in slavery, and now they're being set free. He's reminding them of how they were in this place of lack of freedom, and now they're in a place where God is saving them. And before I unpack my message today, I want to remind some people here this morning of what God has done for you. I want to remind some people here this morning that once you were in bondage, once you were a slave to your sins, but through the cross and through Jesus Christ, you've been set free from your past. You know, once you were your enemy, the enemy played havoc with your life, but Jesus has set you free. Jesus has changed the plans of the enemy. Jesus has broken those plans off your life, and now you live in God's freedom and God's grace. And see, God is doing miracles in the Bible, who believes that God did miracles in the Bible. But God is not just doing miracles in the Bible. God is still doing miracles today, and He can do miracles in your life. And if anyone believes that this morning, why don't you give God some praise and some glory? Thank you, God. You're so awesome. We must never, ever, ever forget how powerful, how mighty, how awesome. It doesn't matter what you might face. It may seem too big an obstacle for you, but remember the God we serve is greater, is bigger, is more than able, is more powerful to overcome those things. Today you might be here and you don't know God in that way and you don't know about what Jesus did for you on the cross. I want to give you an opportunity a little bit later in my message to find out about Jesus and to accept Him into your life. So Isaiah reminds the Israel about how God, great God is, and then he continues on, and this is going to be my key passage today to Isaiah 43:18. He says this, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old." Man, who likes to think about the good old days? Who likes to reminisce about how it was used to be so good? You know, when I was a kid, it was just so much better before we had phones and their social media and I don't know, whatever. But remember the former days, the good old days. That's usually something that old people say, so it's not really something I say because I'm young. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Behold, I am doing a new thing. You know, as we enter into this new year, I thought this scripture is just such a timely scripture for our lives and also for our church. God is saying, behold, I do a new thing. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Life is all about seasons. Seasons in nature, spring, summer, autumn, winter. There are seasons in our life where we're a baby, then a child, then a teenager, then we're an adult, and then we move on to something else. There are seasons of focus in our life, seasons where we're focused on school and university and TAFE. There are seasons where we're focused on maybe building a family, entering into marriage. There are other seasons where we're focused on our career, maybe seasons where we focus on fitness. Everyone, like, new year, new me, you know, like, this is the year I'm going to get fit. That season lasts for about 3 days. But, you know, there's seasons that we go through in life. And Solomon says there is a time for everything. There's a time for everything. That means there is also a time for the new. There is also a time for the new. A time when God says, remember not the former, remember not the old things. Behold, I am doing a new thing. So many people I meet, so many people are looking backwards. They're looking backwards. They're looking in the rear vision mirror. They're looking at what's behind them instead of looking at the future that God wants to bring them into. So many people are like that. And then the greatest days of my life, let me tell you this morning, are not in my past, they're in my future. The greatest days of your life are not in your past. The greatest days of Elevation Church, Melbourne West, are not in our past. The greatest days are ahead. The best days are yet to come, but we have to grab a hold of the new thing that God is wanting to do in our lives. We will never step into our future when we are looking into our past. And I believe that a new day is here. This is not just it's the first Sunday of the year, so this is the message to preach on the first Sunday of the year. No, I fully believe in my heart and in my spirit that God is saying that this is a season of new for this church. This is a season of new for Melbourne West. See, a new season is dawning for our church, and God says to us, the choice is yours. God is all about giving people choices. God says, the choice is yours. You can either get up, embrace the new dawn that is coming. You can arise and see the sun coming over the horizon and see all that God has planned and doing in the church and in your lives. Or you can sleep in and you can miss what God wants to do. You can miss the amazing dawn that arises. You can miss the sun coming out and shining on your lives. And not only us will we miss it, but there are people that need us to receive that, because if they miss it, they don't know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. They desperately, desperately need us to stand up so that they may know Jesus Christ. I've got a couple of thoughts that I wrote down that you might want to take notes of this morning, about some thoughts I had on what happens as we embrace the new, as we embrace new things, as we enter into new seasons of our lives. The first thing is, new brings new challenges. New brings new challenges. And this morning, if you like something that I'm saying, you can say amen. You can say preach it. You can say, come on, let's go. New brings new challenges. There are always new challenges we will face in the new. Let me tell you, there are always new challenges we will face as we enter in the year, into the new. This year, I'm entering into some new challenges, some new seasons of pushing myself as I go onto the Kokoda Trail in Papua New Guinea in July. And I am so pumped about that. Thank you, DLT, for making us location pastors go and do that. We are so pumped. 96 kilometers over 6 days, and you're looking at me and you're thinking, man, he looks pretty fit, this bloke, but let me tell you, I'm not very fit. I'm a bit worried, actually. Non-stop, continuous inclines, declines. I'm a research guy. I like to research things. I shouldn't be researching Kokoda, because the more I research, the less and less excited I get, you know, like 60 to 70 degree inclines and declines. As the crow flies, it's 60 kilometers, but as you walk it, it's 96 kilometers. So just think about that. Humidity, mud, rain, sweat, tears, and that's just Pastor Ross. No. Pastor Ross is a beast, man. He is so fit. Like, he's going to be finished one day before us. I just know it. There's no way that I can go in my current state of fitness or preparedness. Mental preparedness. I cannot go in my current state that I am in. So I need to step into a new season of entering training and eating right and getting the correct gear. This is going to be a challenge for me. And I thought that winning my wife Gabby was a challenge. That's my wife Gabby here. But I think Kokoda might even be a bigger challenge for me. And I want you to think about some challenges that you've faced in new seasons in your life. Man, we have some new parents here this morning. Think about that, being a new parent, new challenges you face, a baby that cries in the night, sleepless nights. You have arguments with each other about how we should do this parenting, change of routine. Am I doing things right? This website says I should do it this way. This app says to do it like this. This friend is saying, you know, all these challenges, how do we do it? Think about our new school leavers. We have some people here who are leaving school or entering into VCE this year. Think about that, the challenges that you face. Are the subjects I'm choosing going to lead to a career that will get me a job in the future? What am I going to do after school? What do I do when I get knockback after knockback of job interviews and people saying no? How do I stay motivated at that time? And can I just give a shout out to Michael? He went through a season like this, but he's got a job now full time. Come on, praise God. God is good. God is good. You know, new season will bring new challenges, difficulties, and trials. Man, everyone's pumped for the new, but there's going to be some things we're going to face when it happens. Often storms accompany the new, but what we start to realize is that maybe if there's an absence of challenges in our lives, then maybe there's also an absence of progress in our lives too. If I'm not facing challenge, maybe there's not much progress in my life. If everything is cruising, maybe it's because we're not rocking any boats. We're taught all our life, don't rock the boat. But I want to tell you today, God is saying, rock the boat in your life. Start rocking the boat and some things that are happening in your life. Start believing for God to do something. See, maybe we're not doing anything new. We're sitting comfortable in the former and the old. We're sitting in the armchair, the rocking chair, looking back, reminiscing about the days of old. Martin Luther King says this, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Why do we get surprised when we face challenges in our lives? Why do we get surprised when storms come our way? Don't we remember what Jesus said in John 16:33? In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. What does Jesus say? I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. One of my favorite passages of scripture, take heart, Jesus has overcome the world. Could you imagine what would the world think if when Christians faced storms and challenges in their lives, instead of running, they stood up and said, hey, come on, God, come and move in my life. What if when the worst happened, the best of the best came out of us? What if at those times when new challenges came, we leaned in even more to God and the Holy Spirit? What if at those times, instead of leaning on our own understanding, we got on to God? Instead of getting crazy, we got on our knees. Instead of like swearing or cursing, we just declared God's goodness. We praised God. Instead of wondering what could be, we started declaring what is going to be through God. Instead of doing these things, instead of stepping back, we took a new step of faith. Instead of relying on self, we relied on God. What would happen? What could happen in your life in 2019 if you did this? See, we need to embrace the challenges we face, because the challenges we face are making us stronger for the next season's new challenges that we will face. what you face now is going to make you stronger for the new challenges you will face in the future. So number one, new brings new challenges. Number two, new requires new changes. The challenge we face in new seasons are there for one reason, to change us. The challenges we face in new seasons of one reason to change us. There is purpose in challenge and there is purpose in change. Never think that there's no reason for what you are going through. See, your life does not get better by chance. It gets better by change. Most of us hate change. Most of us hate change because it challenges us, because it sometimes brings out insecurities, because it sometimes makes us unsure about what's happening. It upsets our comfort levels. It changes our routines. But can I tell you today, change is good for us. Every moment of change that I have faced in my life has made me who I am today. I'm glad I'm not 4-year-old Bronson in a 25-year-old body. I'm glad I'm not, 13-year-old Bronson in a 30-year-old body. I'm glad that the changes in my life and the moments that I've faced have made me who I am. See, new things always bring new changes. My question is, what change is God trying to make in your life? It's not just about what change we want to see in our lives. What change does God want to see in our lives? Maybe God wants to change you to have a new way of thinking. A new way of thinking, Philippians 4:8, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Some people here today, maybe God wants you to have a new way of thinking. Maybe God wants you to have a new way of speaking. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat it, eat of its fruit. Maybe God wants you to speak a new way, to declare a new word, to speak a new word over your spouse, your children, in your workplace. Maybe God wants you to have a new way of living, a new way of living. You know, that reminds me of that old classic Pentecostal sign, I found a new way of living. Does anyone remember that one? 3 or 4 people. There's a reason that one's in the old days, guys. We left that one behind. No one's looking back at that. Ephesians 4:22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. God wants some of us to have a new way of living in our lives at this moment. God wants us to have a new way of seeing, a new way of loving, a new way of doing community, a new way of speaking into our friends' lives, a new way of leaning in, a new way of standing up. He wants to see a new way of reaching people. Could it be that this year as a church, we can find new ways to reach people, new ways to bring people into salvation to Christ, new ways of serving each other and those in our communities around us? What is the new thing that God is wanting to or He is about to do in your life? Even now as I'm speaking, I believe that there will be the Holy Spirit speaking to people right now. The Holy Spirit challenging you. The Holy Spirit convicting you, not condemning you, but convicting you about what He wants to do in your life. He's stirring something in your heart. Maybe you need to change your attitudes, the way you see things. Maybe you need to change your language, the way you think about certain people. Maybe there's things that you allow into your life. There's things that you watch, things that you read that you need to put aside. Maybe there's influences in your life, friends, that maybe you need to have a season of separation from them as God does something new in your life. Maybe you need to change the way you think about God. Maybe you see God as one way, but He's really some other way, and you need to change the way you see Him. Maybe you need to rekindle the fire that you once had for God. Remember when you were a first brand new Christian and the fire burnt bright? Maybe you need to rekindle that fire again today. And we've got a great opportunity heading into fast these next couple of weeks. Maybe today your first step is you need to accept Jesus Christ into your life. Accept Jesus and experience change there. See, we have to remember that God's changes always have a purpose. God knows where you're going to be in 6 months. He knows where you're going to be in 2 years, in 5 years' time. And the changes He is wanting to undergo in your life now are because He needs you to be changed at that time. He needs you to be a different you at that time. See, we will never reach our God-given potential if we don't embrace the change that He wants to do in our lives today. Not tomorrow, not next week. We need to embrace God's changes today in our lives. So one, new brings new challenges. Two, requires new change. New requires new changes. And then three, new births, new champions. When God has you in a new season, He is trying to grow something new in you, and it must be birthed. It must be birthed. Just like when a woman is pregnant, sooner or later, a baby is coming out. And mum might want it to come out early or to come out late, but that baby is going to come. See, the thing is, though, for the new thing to be birthed, we must first face the new challenges and embrace the new changes. And then after that, we will see God do something amazing. The problem is, most of us give up at the challenges, or most of us stop at the changes. We see this in the Bible in Genesis 11, 31. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they got to Haran, they settled there. Abraham's dad has set his eyes to head to a place called Canaan. And he's traveling towards that destination. But before he gets to the destination, he stops at a town called Haran. And that's where he spends the rest of his life. Don't settle for less than the entire new season that God has for you. Don't settle for less than what He has for you. If you will embrace new changes and new challenges, you will see an amazing transformation in your life to be the champion that God has ordained and called you to be. We believe in being Spirit-led people. And when we are Spirit-led, when we embrace God's Spirit, when we are full of God's Spirit, we don't run from challenges, we face them. When we are full of God's Spirit, we don't stay the same. We allow God to change us no matter how painful it might be. In Romans 8, 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall terrible or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than what? We are more than what? Come on, we are more than what? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are more than conquerors despite what challenges that come, despite the changes we may see that we may not like, despite those things, God says we are more than conquerors. Champions buck trends. Man, don't Australians love just the status quo? The status quo. Well, this is how we've always done it. I'm not going to stand up. No, champions buck trends. How many trends can you buck in your life today? How many trends can we buck as a church this year? Champions dream of something bigger and better. Man, I hope today as you're sitting here, you don't just see the number of people that are here. I hope in your eyes, you see hundreds of people. You see thousands of people. You see an influence. Come on, I think we can give a better clap than that this morning. I hope that you see the influence that God is going to have through this church. Champions don't settle for average. You were born for more. That's the cry. That's the tag of our movement. You were born for more. We're not made for average. Champions think about the impact they'll have. Man, what influence am I having in my life? Who am I impacting? Could there be two or three people that this year you strategically decide, I'm going to have an influence, a positive, godly influence in their lives this year to impact them? I wonder how many champions we have in this room right now. She turned to the person and said, hey, are you a champion? And all the extroverts said, yeah, I'm a champion. I wonder how many champions we have in this room right now. And you know, as I say that, maybe there's something inside you that pushes back, says, oh, champions, you know, come on. Push into God. God doesn't want you to stay settled. God doesn't want you to stay average. God doesn't want you to stay mediocre. Come on, we can be more champion men and women and young people. It is our responsibility, but not burden, to be champions. And as I talk about champions, I'm not talking about, yeah, we are the champions. Come on, Bronson, yeah, Elevation Church, yeah. I'm not talking about those things. I'm not talking about hoorah and yeah, yeah, and all those things. I'm talking about champions who will change the world for Jesus. I'm talking about champions that will get out and do the hard yards and get on their knees to advance the kingdom of God. I'm talking about champions who don't want to leave this place the same, who want to change it, who want to leave it a better place for those that are coming. I'm talking about champions that believe that the example they are setting is setting example for the young people in this place right now, that they would say, man, I wish, hey, could I be like them? No, they can be greater. They can be better. They can have more of God in their lives. That's what we're believing. I wonder what great things God has planned to do for you and through you. I wonder how many lives and families and communities and towns and states and countries might be impacted by the champions we have in this room today. You never know. You never know who might be here this morning that might go on to do some amazing things for God. The challenges we face in new seasons bring upon us change. The change brings about a new us, a newly birthed champion. One, new brings new challenges. Two, new brings new changes. Three, new births new champions. Well, that's a bit of a tongue twister, that whole thing. Tomorrow we start 14 days of prayer and fasting. 14 days of prayer and fasting. Hey, someone's excited. 14 days of prayer and fasting. And at Elevation Church, we believe in freedom of expression of how you want to do your fast. And there's many different ways. You can do a full food fast. You can do a partial food fast. You can do a fast certain days of the week. You can choose to do meal fasts, activity habit fasts, whatever it is to choose. You can do it. You can choose to do the whole 14 days. You can choose to do 7 days. You can choose to do 3 days here and 4 days there. You can choose to do every alternate day. You can choose to do the fast however you want to do the fast. But can I say this? Choose a method to do the fast and do it. Choose the method to do the fast and do it. Don't say it's too hard. Don't say it's too difficult. Choose something and do the fast. Fasting is not about dieting. It's not about, oh, I'm going to look nice and slim after this period of time. It's not about that. It's about putting a habit aside, putting an activity aside that you frequently do, and that when you've put that aside, when you want to go and do it, you say, no, I won't do that. Why won't I do that? Because I'm fasting for God. And then at that time, you then do a different activity, and that activity is not look at the TV or do something else. That activity is you pray to God. That activity is you get your Bible out, read some scripture. That activity is you put some praise and worship on. You can do it. You can do it. I do it. I go out and I have some days in the week that I work at a place of employment. I still fast and I still get hungry. But at those times I say, hey, I'm hungry because I'm fasting God. And so I spend a few minutes praying. I spend a few moments praying. Make sure that when you fast, you substitute it with reading your Bible, with prayer, with something to do with God. But the most important thing is that as we're fasting over the next 2 weeks, would you make sure that you're seeking God for the new thing that maybe He wants to do in your life? This is a great opportunity for you to say, hey, God, at this time, over these 2 weeks, as I'm fasting, I want to seek your face. I want to seek your word. I want to seek what is it that you are trying, what new season, what new thing are you trying to bring me into at this moment? See, I believe 2019 is going to be our best year yet. Our best year yet. I believe that this can be the year of increase for our lives and the year of increase for our church. I believe with my whole heart that this can be the year where we'll see more salvations this year than any year in the past. I believe that people are going to experience miracles. They're going to experience healings. They're going to experience breakthrough. They're going to experience the presence of God, truth, and blessings like they've never experienced in 2019. Come on, does anyone believe it this morning that they could experience that in God today? I believe that our numbers can increase, that our numbers will increase, that we will have an increase in our influence. And I'm excited about all that God is doing. I'm excited about the two new Elevation locations that we're launching in the coming months, up in Cairns next month, and then Mandurah sometime after that. I'm excited about that. Church, get excited. Get excited that a life-giving, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church is coming to a community that needs God. Communities need more churches to bring the gospel, to bring Jesus to them. I'm excited about the new church building that we're going to be moving into later this year. It's going to be awesome. Be praying for that building. Please be praying for God's favor on our planning permits with council. I'm excited about conquering Kokoda. 2019 is going to be a great year. It's going to be our best year yet. Can I encourage you to let the language of your mouth declare God's goodness for your life this year. Don't go into this year looking back at what last year was or wasn't. Don't think to yourself, well, it's just the same old. No, it's not the same old, same old. God is doing something new. See, as we step into this new year, we need to put aside the former. We need to put aside the past. We need to put aside all those things, the old. It's not time for the past. It's time for the future.